is good. God is good, guys. Amen and amen. Yes. It's one statement you can make day and night. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter how much. He'll always be good. I want you to go to Isaiah 40, verse 30. And this is a familiar verse for all of us, and yet I find it one of the, probably the hardest things for me through the years has been the whole aspect of renewing my strength and waiting on the Lord. You know, there's going to come a time when where God's not going to, you're going to be living in eternity, and He's not going to have to renew your strength. You with me? There's going to come a time where you'll be renewed all the time. You'll be in His presence. There will be no time where you'll say, God, I'm in heaven, but I'm exhausted. Could you help me again? There's a beauty about waiting on Him at that point. Actually, we're going to start up in 28, and Isaiah is being told something that he is speaking. He's God's mouthpiece to Israel, and he's speaking. In verse 27, actually. And he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I think one of the things, and there's a couple aspects of talking about waiting on the Lord, but I understand that when God's speaking to Israel, and let's give a context here. Israel was constantly falling out of sync in a way with their father, with their heavenly father. They go in the wilderness, they'd sin, God would, you know, judge them to bring them back, they would come back. They try to do stuff on their own steam. Sometimes when God was judging, like needing them to get a grip on their actions, they were avoiding God, and it just goes on and on. But in the particular chapter, because number one, Israel's not understanding. That's why he's saying, why do you say, O Jacob? And what Isaiah's revealing really is what they're saying privately. Because in a way, Israel's on the journey of God, but there's so many agendas going on that it's kind of like there's a confidence that they shouldn't have, and there's a strength that he wants them to have that they seem to sometimes avoid. So the first thing sometimes that God does to us, and he does it to me and he does it to you, is he says, you know, I'm going to remind you who I am. Because sometimes in our cloudiness, we forget who God is. And I want to show a difference here. It doesn't mean that the Jews in Isaiah's time couldn't tell you who the Lord was, but in their lives, that translation got lost somewhere. And he says a couple things. You know, if we wait on the Lord, he will give you strength. There's a human strength. There's a divine strength. There's a re-energizing, you know what I'm saying, guys, that you can do in yourself to a degree, but there's a total strength that comes from the Lord to do, to live, to get through the things you need to get through. The reason he brings up, and he even says it, you know, speaks of the Lord's ability, okay? But then he also shows them both young and mature men. And there's a reason that God speaks this to Isaiah, that Isaiah speaks it to Israel. Young men are energetic. Older men are stable. What he's trying to show them is in the scope of humanity, even the things we look up to, even the things that we go, man, that I wished I had that. Like sometimes I've looked at certain kids and said, if you could bottle that, I'd buy it. So he goes both to the equation that young people never seem to burn their batteries. And he goes to the vigorous men, they will stumble. And what he is saying is, before you look at the odds of what, you know, you wished you were, or, you know, if I had a young man's age, I could do this. If I was a vigorous man like the warriors, because sometimes that word vigorous is interesting, I could get this done. My life would be better. And he kind of doesn't damn both sources of energy, but he absolutely steps on both and kind of says, young men, old men, they both may move and they both may have energy, but we'll grow tired. And he's inviting them to get away from a human source of strength, to get away from natural strength. And he's actually inviting them to have an energy and a vigor that is divine, that does not come in a matter of chronology or a lack of chronology, but rather it comes from heaven and it really empowers you. So many times in my life, I've did things on my own strength, even for God. So many times in my life, I can think of times where I looked at the law of averages versus maybe where God was leading me, and I tried to just be strong, or I tried to muster up, or whatever it was. You gotta understand something. God's strength and power, as you wait on him, and what he gives you the ability to do is just a far cry above. One thing, if you minister a lot and you go into foreign countries where you've got to travel a lot and it's hot and it's jungle heat, and you know, it's like when you're in, even when I've been in both Asia, parts of Asia or multiple parts, the heat is like so bad. I could be having a good day, step out to get breakfast with the pastors, and it's 87 in the morning, at 7 in the morning. My energy is good to a degree, and then it's not. I remember ministering a lot of places, and we traveled a lot of places by car, by tuk-tuk, by different methods. And we had been burning for 10, 11 days. And I mean, the schedule was hectic because it was morning and night. And most of the times we were speaking at these seminars, multiple two-hour sessions per preacher. So we're going morning till night. And just, you know, asking the Lord for, you know, power. I'll never forget that, you know, Keith had told me, because we were ministering, and finally we said, you know, when we get to this day, we're going to burn down, and because you need to unwind for a couple of days. We're not just going to work till you drop, shove you on the plane. And I remember when the burn down day came, oh my gosh, guys, the burn down day came, and I just couldn't even get to the gas. I couldn't even go to the candy store. I had a hard time walking. I was just totally... You know what I'm saying? I was totally burnt out. And I realized real quickly the Lord had been upon me. He had divinely granted mercy and grace. He was with me. He was dealing with me, okay? And I realized that, and I knew that anyway, but it was really like, it was graphic, and it was very clear to see that the whole engine powering you to do whatever it is God called you to do, this engine has been going on and backing you and helping you, and now that engine is done because you don't need it right now. Because we have natural energy and the wonderful invention of coffee, which I love, obviously we do pick up in the morning, and I'm not even, you know, talking about that. But there's a gas and a motor that needs to run inside you, really, with the life you live. I think because we live natural lives, we like go to work, we get up, we do natural things. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not something I really go, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Help me mount up with wings as eagles today. Because sometimes it's such a practical or pragmatic thing that I'm doing, you just don't look at it in that way. But waiting on the Lord and for his strength and waiting on the Lord to do what he wants to do is, I say, one of the trickiest things. It's in the waiting that all kinds of sin happen. It's in the waiting that all kinds of striving happens. It's in the waiting that sometimes we find out that we don't not only not like to wait, but we're like kind of saying, Father, I'll wait for a bit, but if you don't come through, I'm going to pull this off on my own. Because there's something about stillness that seems to me, at least in my being, to sometimes bother me. Waiting on the Lord can be translated into anything. You might have a situation you've been dealing with for 5 months, 5 years, 2 years, whatever. And you know what? You've actually been waiting, technically. Maybe you didn't see it that way. And you're tired, you know, and you're tired. You're tired in whatever you're waiting on. That happens to all of us. And that's really where this verse, you start to think, he who waits on the Lord will renew his strength. He'll mount up with wings of eagles. So there's this point where we kind of go, I'm weary of waiting. And instead of saying, I'm weary of waiting and I'm about to fall off the cliff, we can say, what a perfect time, Father. I'm going to wait on you. Because you're going to renew my strength. It's going to be a divine strength. It's going to be a strength that really has no end. God wants to grant to you the ability to wait upon him. And the reason I say this is hard, because just living my own life, and were times that I'm waiting on the Lord for this, I'm waiting on the Lord for that, or just in general, where I got to do something, and I stand before the Lord and say, I've got to go do this thing, Father. And your anointing would really be the only way I could get this done the right way. Even if it's sitting in that prayer closet for an hour. Waiting on the Lord is done in so many different circumstances, in so many different ways, to where we start to understand that God will renew you, and it's just like, it's not like starting over, it's better than that. Now Israel had a problem, because, and we'll get into that a little bit, because they waited on the Lord very little. They complained a lot. They did stuff on their own strength and merit a lot. And they didn't have Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. So the prophet Isaiah is speaking to them, and he's, you know, number one, saying, do you not understand that all the human avenues you look to for strength, they will all tire, no matter what amount of vigor, strength, or power, you need to wait on me. Because I'll renew your strength in ways that are divine. I had somebody ask me I was talking to somebody, and I've dealt with some physical things, and they were asking, so how do you do it? Because I've did some reading, and I know you're supposed to be like this, this, and this, and this doesn't make sense, and this doesn't make sense. And I said, God helps me to defy gravity so many times. And they said, I've never heard the term. I mean, I heard the term defy gravity, but I know that's not what you're meaning. They said, could you explain that a little better to me? I said, well, that's kind of simple. The physiology and the things should look a particular way, and I have felt them before. And then there's God, who gives strength from above. It's different. It's not looking for the latest vitamin or the latest B12 drink. It's, you know, and actually, I take vitamins. I think it's good. Your body's a temple. And I said, I mean defying gravity, because although the problem is still there, God gives the ability to walk above it. Now, they were getting into the whole divine health prosperity thing, which was troubling, because they didn't want to hear about divine gravity. They wanted to hear about divine health. And I said, you know, there are times, even when Paul said he had treated the Lord three times and said, take the thorn from my flesh. The Lord said, my strength is made manifest in weakness. He didn't tell Paul the thorn will keep hurting. And this is what's important to understand. In fact, even when Paul says, take this thorn from me, God says, I'm going to help you to defy gravity. This thorn will be there, Paul, but my strength will be made manifest, which will null and void the thorn. You'll walk above it, but it'll be in that weakness that you'll find my strength. I'm not going to pep you up. Think about this, guys, okay? You know, we bear a lot of things, and I'm getting very personal. The one thing, I do this if we're 1,000, because I actually do this in, when I'm in other countries, we get very personal. But the thing is, we wait for a lot of things. We wait for situations to change. We wait for prayers to answer that we've asked God for specific things. I don't know about you. If I won't even ask it. It's kind of be rhetorical anyway. It's like, how many here are waiting for something? I have to raise my hand right now. Absolutely. I would have to raise my hand. And you would say, how many things? I'd be like, I'll have to sit down and think about it. There's quite a few. It's funny. I've lived a life to where God has brought things, and I'm still waiting on it. I got a friend that he kind of lost his family. Not lost them, they're still there, but the wife, and you know, they had a horrible split, and there was a lot of bad issues, and totally backslidden the spouse, totally. And he's been waiting on her for quite a bit. Now, this is a personal thing, and I don't know the two cases are alike, to be completely honest with you. And he asked me, he said, you know, somebody came up to me and said, you need to get a grip on reality. Okay? It's time to cut and run. And Tom said, what do you think about that? I said, well, here's the thing. They want to leave biblically. If the non-believer wants to leave, they can go. I said, brother, but on the other hand, I see a weight in you that's different. You could do it. It's permissible in God's word. You could actually do that now. But I said, there's a weight in you that's not natural. And you told me God told you he would restore. So I said, unlike the guy that told you to give it up or get a grip on reality, I'm going to tell you, you know, because God's given you the ability to wait. So I just encouraged him. And I said, you know, I'm not actually telling you to wait. I'm just recognizing what you're doing. And I'm standing with you. And you might say, well, that's great diplomacy. No, I'm looking at his situation. I'm looking at who he is. I'm looking what I'm seeing in his spirit. And he's all right with that. Now, he's older than a lot of you guys in the room. Well, not all of us, but he's older. He's in his 60s. So he was like, you know what? Waiting's all right anyway, because if this don't work out, I'm just working for Jesus either way. I said, well, there you go. He said, I'm not seeking another situation. I said, well, I guess that makes it even easier then, because you can just, you know, praise God. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But, you know, he's told me many times, I have moments. Of course he does. I have moments of discouragement where Satan tries me, where he pushes me against the wall and said, you're an idiot, you're stupid. I get that. You know, here's the thing. If you're the devil, you read Isaiah 42. I believe that. The devil knows scriptures. He quotes it all the time. In fact, I got to believe he's got it pretty memorized at this point. But it's interesting. If God says, wait on the Lord for strength, Mike, I want to give you strength, what's he going to do? He's going to try to obscure, to interfere, to break that ability to wait. The enemy is always coming in to counteract the word of God, both in me as to who I am, and both to me as to what it tells me to do. If I'm the enemy and I know that waiting brings divine strength, what am I going to do? I'm going to try to stop you from waiting. I don't want you, if this is the spot you're at waiting and the strength is coming here, if I'm the enemy, I want to get in between that, because I can't have you going to here and getting connected. And I can't have you hitting this and divine strength restores your being, because then you're dangerous. Because then I can't wear out that kind of strength. The enemy cannot wear out the strength that God has given you in your spirit. Did you know that? He can't. Cannot. He knows this. But he does know human effort can be wore out. Because he knows that young men, they'll grow weary, and that vigorous men will stumble and fall eventually. He knows the limits to the and the boundaries of the human psyche, human endurance, natural strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. In fact, there's a lot to that. And I know people that like that verse, they like eagle posters, and that's all good. I've spoken this a lot, but for all of us, it's so common what I'm sharing this morning that it could not possibly be to one of you and not another, or more for me than for you, because we're all dealing with this in one shape or another. Sometimes we wait for God to show us that next thing. Sometimes we wait for God to give us this. Sometimes we just wait for God because we don't like the strength level we're walking in. We feel like we're walking in our own strength. One of the biggest problems is human striving, and human striving is one of the biggest enemies to waiting. Now, I've met people in the past, because often when somebody hears this, I've heard this a lot through the years. I've even said it, and I've also heard it when I was holding to it. Are you talking about doing nothing? And I'm like, gosh, never am I talking about doing nothing. But there are some things that are bigger than me and bigger than you. In fact, there are some situations that are so big, it's like, only you could do this, God. So I'm going to wait on you anyway, because I can't wait on myself, because I can't make this happen. It's very difficult. I personally don't know that the word impossible exists in a real way to the Lord and his people. Because to me, all's that when I see something that goes impossible, then I say, well, improbable, except when God comes, it will happen. Waiting is not a bad thing. Now, I used to tell the Lord, I want to build a boat on dry ground for 100 years, because I used to look at Noah and him like following this last order on dry ground. Guys, I'm hard in 10 years. My heart wanders. I'm hard in 10 minutes. I'm hard in 10 days, 10 months. That's me. Now, maybe you're not. Maybe you're far more gifted in your ability to wait on the Lord. But in fact, this has been one of my greatest downfalls in my life. Waiting has been the trickiest thing I've ever done, and has always continued to be something that is difficult and strange. Because the enemy is there with waiting. He understands what goes on. He doesn't want you hitting the mother load of energy. Because when God powers up your spirit, he gives you the exact strength and divine power and the ability to exert yourself for the exact task he's asked of you. The enemy knows this. In fact, he knows it's not general caffeine that God gives. If I had to count the times I was renewed in my strength, there's no counting it. It's too many. Too many times. That's okay. You know, I used to teach people we're leaky vessels, and we need to be renewed and renewed. Somebody once told me, they said, I wish I could grow into that point where I would no longer need to be renewed, but always new. I said, well, that wouldn't make sense, because it's not how you're made. God makes the need to be renewed and to eat each day spiritually, because like a physical body, our spiritual man is very similar in certain ways. So to be renewed in the need, you know, somebody once told me, they said, you know, I don't get all this, you know, I'm hungry and desperate for you. And they said, what they started doing is talking about the sufficiency of the blood and the cross. I said, well, two things, you're mixing up two things that actually don't meet even in the middle. Nobody is saying that the cross is insufficient. And nobody is saying that God didn't pay the price and that it has done well. But the aspect of living day to day and the things you will need from God never ends until you see him. There's a lot of argument even with stuff like this now. A lot of people kind of roll their eyes if you say, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They don't want to hear it. They don't even believe it. And they're mixing their theology where it doesn't really mix, because I need God desperately each day, because right now I'm a human being. I am divinely filled by God's Spirit, but I am a human being, and there is a wrestling and there is a fight that goes on, and I have needs. I have needs today. I'll have needs tomorrow. But I really believe in my life for many years, letting go was the toughest thing. Letting God bring it was tough. I would interfere with that all the time. I had a good zeal for the Lord. I think I wanted to see the right things done. But waiting for God to come through was a tough thing for me. It challenged my unbelief. It challenged my ability to strive. But even little things right now, to where you've got something to do Thursday for God, or you got to do, or you're dealing with something Tuesday, whatever. And I'm going to put this in the micro too. We're saying, Father, I wait on your strength today. I need it. This is standard blah, blah, blah. This stuff is, it's just, I can do it either way. But isn't it nice that we start depending so much on the Father? When we're like kids, we're just saying, Father, I'm waiting on you today. I got to go do this thing. You know, I had a rule in prayer, and I would preach different places. And I was always asking people, how early can you open the doors? And if I was out of town, many times I'd say, we open 30 minutes before the service. And I wanted to be there 2.5 hours previous to the service, because I needed to wait on the Lord. And what I would do is wait on him. And there, you know, there would be, sometimes it would take every bit of the time, and God would finally move upon my being. His presence would move on me, and I'd feel that he had gone forth. Now I could minister. I think some of this stuff with waiting is habitual. I think we can make it a habit, depending on how much we learn. This is a learning process. I would love to say to people, hey, we're going to go do this feat for God tomorrow, and let's meet in advance, and let's meet in advance and wait before the Lord. Really wait before the Lord. You'd be surprised. I've talked to people who said, you know, I've never had a sense that he's went forth, and that's never been a part of my life. And I'm just thinking, well, you've never geared yourself for it, so obviously you've never experienced it. And the thing is, you're good to go with or without God. Because maybe you're bringing a Bible somewhere and it holds truth. So to you, it doesn't matter whether you feel God's went before you, whether he strengthened you, you're just going to do it. The sad thing about that is God, I believe, has offered so many of his people, all of his people, this empowerment, this renewing of their energy and renewing of their power. And I think many people just said, I don't wait. That's just not me. I don't do that. I'm going whether he goes before me or not. There was a scripture with King David once, and he was going to a battle. And in the battle, he asked the Lord about going and should I go up? And the Lord says, go up. But he says point blank, wait. And he says, when you hear the sound of troops in the tops of the balsam trees, then go, because you'll know the Lord has gone before you. And what he meant is troops, army, angelic troops. So David waits. And this is very applicable to this scripture in Isaiah. David waits, and he hears the sound of the angelic troops in the tops of the trees. And when he hears that, he goes forth and he wins. Now, some people say, well, that's waiting for angelic troops to go do a battle, so it's not the same as the Lord renewing our strength. There's a lot of ways God brings strength. There's a lot of ways God renews strength. There's a lot of ways the Father wants to do this. But again, we live in a microwave society. Everything is instant. I mean, I don't even have to research much. It's just called Google. I mean, if I want a fact, I don't seek through books anymore. Just do a key phrase, and it finds most of it. So that ability to wait is really being interfered with, I think. It's a great challenge to we believers, is it not? Waiting is one of those things where I look and I go, you know what? It's a horrible time. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard thing to do. But it's something to where there's a victory. You know what I'm saying? It's important. The waiting becomes an ability you have. Now, this isn't always about a prayer request. Sometimes, like, you've got a life you've got to deal with all the time. And sometimes you run into things where you're kind of in your own strength. You're not really, God's really not empowering this. And if you wait on him and say, I'm waiting on you to renew my strength because I need your strength in this situation. I need your strength. I need you to come through, Father, because I need your strength. I need your energy. Without you, I can't do this. You'll be surprised when you're a desperate person and, you know, how you come to God desperately and you say, please, Father, help me. Where there's a thing to you know what I'm saying, to where we kind of go, all right, Father, I'm waiting on you. And another thing is, when no one else will do, there's an old saying I heard, when no one else will do, God will come through. Sometimes we're a mixed bag with waiting, meaning we're kind of saying, yeah, it would be nice, but I'm going with or without you, Father. Or I'm going to try to be energetic with or without you. I'm going to try to do this thing whether you renew my strength or not. And sometimes it's funny because that's not the context that we meet God in. Because God is God alone. When we come to him, we have to be literally saying, only you and what you bring is good enough for me. Nothing else will do. When God is the only option, it's funny. It changes so many things. When God is one of the options, many times our character will not withstand the trials. Because if God's just one option, and if not so, I can go another route, God sees our hearts, especially when we're like that. I was always intimidated by Noah building a boat for 100 years. It always bothered me. Jeremiah prophesied to Israel for 70 years, and they didn't listen. And yet, when I read those men early in my Christianity, they struck me. It was very heavy to look at those guys because I saw in them, number one, an ability I do not have. And I saw in them welcoming or dealing with situations with God's strength and mercy and not tiring. You know, it's interesting. You start preaching early on. You're kind of thinking, did people get that? Did it speak to them? Were they blessed? You know, we use so many, I call them minute markers, when only a millennial will do. Meaning we mark things by little spots of time. And that's not always a smart thing. Sometimes this is where we're at, and this is what we're needing so desperately. And you know, you don't have to really, this is not one of those subjects where people debate it a lot, because it's pretty crystal clear. But I want to say this to you guys. I've seen so much problem come in this aspect. see people get into some horrible things, and it breaks my heart. I've seen people leave the track of Christ and walk away. They would not wait on the Lord. They would not wait to renew their strength. You know, I thought of Peter 3:3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The mockers that will come and finally just say, you know what, these guys have been talking, Jesus is coming back for millennia, and it's old. The implication in the language here is that the mockers actually come from the body, not the outside. Because they use the term, the fathers. Now this term may seem generic, but it speaks of the patriarchs, the fathers. It speaks of the fathers of our faith. Those mocking will not be outsiders, although I've heard outsiders mock the concept of Jesus returning. These mockers will come from within the body. As they live their life and wait for the return of the Lord generation to generation, there will be a mocking that rises, and they will miss the point that, quite frankly, we're pretty young. And they will miss the point that God's holding everything right now in place. They will miss many points, but God's timing they will miss royal, because it says a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. But again, back to the waiting game, back to that being found faithful. If you look at the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, what is their enemy? Waiting. Think about it. The Father, the Master, delays to come. It's in that time, it's called they wait. And in that time, as they wait, is when their attitude gets shot. It's when it says, even in the other parables, that they began to get drunk and beat their fellow servants. Talking about inner body squabbles and fighting and violence, Christians with Christians. Every one of the problems we read in eschatology has to do with waiting. Father's not coming back. Things aren't different. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, they've been saying this stuff, and not a thing has changed. Meaning, not a thing indicates he's any nearer. Not a thing is different. It's interesting, when you look at the word, it escapes their notice. I want you to think of something. It's almost a visual term. So if I talk about escapes my notice, it means that it's almost like if I centered on that thermostat on the wall in the sanctuary, that if you were to look around, you might miss a whole lot of stuff going on in the peripherals. You can have a kind of vision based in a state of mind and a state of spirit that gives you tunnel vision, to where you miss so much that's around you, to where you really don't get the bigger picture. The virgins literally were once virgins, and they had oil, and now the master comes back and they're not ready. And it says, and they're locked outside. And it says, in fact, the implication's pretty heavy, because Jesus, when he uses a parable, uses the term, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth where the virgins that don't have the oil are stuck. That's a term often that speaks of hell, actually. But it's interesting, because the difference between the wise and the foolish is one waited and one didn't. The only difference between the wise servants and the foolish servants is one waited and one didn't. One were able to wait faithfully. The others, that time period showed them that truth was not truth, and they believed something else. I think the body of Christ is going to really need to understand this if you really think about it. But almost done here. I think about what does it mean to mount up with wings of eagles. You know, I've heard people do this verse and do eagle studies and nature studies, and that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you think about an eagle, one of the things that an eagle does, and he does it really well, is he flies, correct? an eagle's length of his wings, I forgot, it's really pretty major. But the most important thing about an eagle is it's above everything. And an eagle actually doesn't really, when it's in the air, an eagle doesn't have many predators. Its sheer size and strength really pretty much make it king of the air, unless the 747 is coming through, but in the natural realm. So when God says to me, Mike, if you wait on me, you'll renew your strength, I'll mount you up with wings as eagles, he says, I'm going to give you a view from above, a perspective from above that you can see down, and you'll be above it. You'll be above it. You will be above it. You know, there's two ways we do this, and I just want to stop here real quick. The being above it or below it. And we were going through a really rough trial, and somebody sent a little clip of a sermon from another country, and it was powerful. In fact, I had a deep appreciation at the time I listened to the sermon, but a greater appreciation as time went on. And it talked about, you know, you look at seas and they're stormy, and the ocean's, you know, horrible. But if you go down, it's different. And then what the preacher in this sermon was talking about, the depths of the Spirit of God, to get into the Spirit of God, to get into the depths, get below the surface of everything's falling apart around you, everything's blowing, and it's tumultuous, and it's hurricane-like, but go down into the depths of God, and the water is actually not as crazy down there. So either you're in the depths or you're like the eagle flying high, but either way, you're above it. You know what's interesting? To an eagle, he flies way high, but things on the ground look small, like little specks. And as he goes through the air, there's no hindrance there. And he sees it from a different perspective. You know, the first Colossians 3 says to set our mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. A lot of times people won't connect these two verses, but in a way, they really do connect. To mount up with wings as eagles because God has renewed my strength is to really get almost like a view from heaven. It's to get a view that is higher. It is above the noise. Because you got to be honest, guys, at the end of the day, so many times, we got to get above the noise of the trial, above the noise of the unbelief, above the noise of foolish people, above the noise of the doubt, above the noise of, we get so close in a situation sometimes, we need God to pull us above it to see it with a clarity. And when we do that, we're going to have an ability to navigate really tough waters. You know, when I think about Jesus in the front of the boat as the storm hits the boat, and I think about the disciples saying, Master, don't you care? We perish. And he's sleeping, you know. Number one, I love it. He's sleeping. Jesus is the Son of God, and let me tell you something. He walked above it more than he walked in it. Even when Jesus says he's on the cross, and that's a brutal way to die. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I mean, that's an amazing thing. His spirit was above it. Sure, he was hurting. Sure, he was in agony. He's bearing the sins of the world. But we see such an example. Wings of eagles is so critical because it's almost God really saying, I'll give you wings of eagles, and you're going to be able to see stuff from a vantage point that defies gravity, that defies what you should be feeling. I'm going to give you a strength and cause you to go high, high up, and you're going to see it from a different perspective. This aspect has been around. In fact, when Isaiah was written, obviously it's past the time of Moses. It's past the times of the patriarchs. There's so many things. Well, not past, because you get, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you get the 12 tribes of Israel, and on, but what I'm saying is, when you read this verse in chapter 40, verses 31, you know, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The principle of God doing that didn't begin when Isaiah was written. That's always been for God's people. Now, God puts it in the scripture, and we read the personal letter from him. But when Moses, you know, says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, the Egyptians are in the back of them. The ocean impasse is in front of them. And Moses is almost like outside of himself. He really is. The aspect of the strengthening of God and mounting up with wings of eagles has went as really as long as God has been dealing with his people. Because God, to remember something, when you read a truth in the scripture, truth, as I've always said, is eternal. It's not antiquated, it's not super old, it's not super young. It's God's very nature. So when you read in verse, when you read in scripture where Moses is dealing with Israel and the army of Egypt is coming upon them to kill them, and the people are screaming, you know, whoa, we're going to die. You've led us here to die. So many times, it's funny, God came through and got Israel out of Egypt. And it's like every time a problem happened, they were the opposite of wings of eagles. All the people saw was the immediate. They couldn't even remember what God did before. I think about the last failure, and I'm not going to go there, but I'll talk about Exodus 32:1. It says that the people said, you know, they basically tell Aaron, Moses is on the mountain, and God is speaking to Moses, and the law is being given. And the people said, hey, as for Moses, we don't know what's happened to this guy. Make for us a God. There's 40 days and 40 nights that Moses is up there, and children of Israel, as far as them waiting on the Lord, that wasn't going to happen. It's funny, because within that distance, they build a golden calf and have an orgy. In fact, it's funny because, not funny, but it's sad, but it says Moses came down and we know he threw the tablets and smashed them, and it says the people were naked. There's actually an inference. But again, right back to the thing, the most dangerous time in my life has always been that period between waiting and gaining strength. It's always been treacherous. It doesn't have to be, because many men in the scripture, many women in the scripture, they did excellent waiting on the Lord to renew their strength. Now, I don't know about this, but what's really important is waiting in of itself is to renew our strength. Waiting in of itself isn't just what goes on. In fact, if you're waiting for nothing, there's two views. If I know that God's going to renew my strength as I wait, even if I'm weakened, I'm going to pray, and I know God's coming through. But a lot of times what happens, again, is what am I waiting for? Well, I'm waiting to renew my strength. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting to renew my strength. What am I waiting? I'm waiting on the Lord. There is waiting and then waiting. I said that to somebody once. They said, what? There's waiting, just waiting, but then there's waiting on the Lord. It's different. When you wait on the Lord to renew your strength, there's an expectation in your spirit that He will come through. You know, the interesting thing in all of our lives, and again, and this is the reason I bring this up, because it so comes at every one of us. We're not unique one from the other. We all have things that we wait upon the Lord for. And we have duties we got to do today, and we got to do tomorrow, and we got to do next week, and we need our strength. I've needed to be re-strengthened sometimes during periods of my life all the time, every other day, sometimes every week. Now, I've always used to say I can really run a lot on a little bit of God's renewing my energy. I can. I'll be in a pickle, and you know, we go through stuff in our lives, and God will come down and touch me, and it's just, it's not that I'm renewed in my exhaustion, I'm still exhausted. He does it so well, I'm renewed. It's like starting again. No matter who we are, this is an issue that's facing us. And that ability of God to come through is that ability of God to come through, and the surety that God will for you. Is absolutely sure. I've often asked the Lord, and I've really felt one day that as I was questioning the Lord, because I've had lots of things, like any of us, we have things we go through. If God could have been audible, I felt like He said, well, in the past, what record do I have with you that you would distrust me right now? Well, the answer was obviously none. Have I ever utterly abandoned you? Have I ever not come through? No. Have I ever left you alone? Like, no. It was one of those conversations with the Lord where He says, you know, then why today are you like this? Because there's so many years, Mike, and so many things that I've done. My record is 1,000-0, Mike. Why in this time do you, for whatever reason, what have I done that would lead you to believe that I'm not faithful? That's a painful thing, but it was a real conversation we were having. Because the answer was obvious. There, you know, like any of us, the answer was, Lord, I put my hand over my mouth. I'll be quiet now. And you're right. And I mean, many times I've prayed this too, and I believe God grows us, where you say, Father, I don't want to be 30 years old. I don't want to be 20 years old in you, and be like a little kid in an area because I know you're transforming me and shaping me to the image of Christ. I need to grow. I need to get farther each day. I think this particular truth about what God wants to do for you as we're closing up today is very strong, because there isn't, you can name the situation and waiting's always going to be a part of it. Sometimes little waiting, sometimes a lot. Sometimes it's like going out and witnessing and waiting for the strength of God, doing this and making sure the strength of God is in us. I want to give you a word of encouragement today, and I don't care how, what you felt, been through, how bad it's gotten. Oh, I care, but what I'm saying is, I don't care in that none of that isn't renewable, and God desires to strengthen that, to strengthen you, to bring you to a point not only of just endurance. He will reward you. He wishes to bring you to trust Him. He wants you to do that. He wants you to succeed, absolutely. In fact, the one beautiful thing about the Lord and us and His calls on our life, God wants them to get done. God wants us to succeed. In the end day, I know there will be many foolish virgins. I know that. There will be many people that have walked away entirely and said, I waited for a bit, and I got tired of waiting. Tried, but God kind of let me down. Simply not true. I want to encourage you today because He's for you. Now, the one thing I told Anna, my wife, sometime, I said, you know, I'd like to almost write a book called Things I've Learned in Failure. Things I've Learned in the Toughest Times have been some of the greatest lessons. I've really thought about this. It's like, and one thing, and I said, one thing that has been so major to me is God always comes through. And the other thing is God knows, like, exactly what's needed. Because I didn't always understand that, we weren't always in agreement. I didn't always see it that way. But I've lived enough years, and I told Anna, I said, one of the beautiful things about being in the Lord some decades is I had been saved enough and long enough to tell you He will come through. Absolutely. If there's one testimony that you could squeeze out of me, that would be the one that the Father is faithful. Because when you get like 40 years in Christ, you see a lot. And you see a lot of waiting and rewarding and strength renewed and those things brought through, the gifts given to, the gifts and the blessings and the outpouring of God. You see it enough to go, no matter what you think, He's faithful and He will be. No matter what you feel, I've lived enough history to watch the faithfulness of God in ways that are staggering. So thank God for that. It's good that we have testimonies from the younger to the from the older to the younger. In fact, there's a beauty in the testimony when a 55-year-old can sit up and tell the 30-year-old, hey, God's good, or a 40-year-old, God's good. Or tell those who are 5 years in the Lord, been there 40, can tell you He's good. Those that are 10 years in the Lord, I've been here 40, He's good. Those that are 15 years in the Lord, I've been here 40, He is good. There's a testimony that is so rock solid that we can give. And one thing about age, there's no substitution for it, because there's no substitution for 40 years in Christ. There really isn't. You see a lot. You have the ups, the downs, but you also understand the faithfulness of God through all of it. It's interesting how God comes through for you, and He'll remind you of this. He Himself will remind you of this, how He comes through in your life. Little pockets. He'll show you times. He'll remind you. Even you're teaching about something like this today, it'll be in your mind. You'll think about it. And there'll be things where you're going to go, I remember when, and it'll be so crystal clear how He intervened so well, how He took care of you, how He was right there at the spot, how He steered you in directions that you frankly didn't know where you were going. You didn't even mean to end up where you ended up, but there was the Father faithfully getting you to that place. How He saved your life, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes both, sometimes every which way. Absolutely. A lot of people don't think a lot about the enduring testimonies all through Deuteronomy, where, in fact, I don't know how you are with this, but where God says, you know, teach this to your kids and your kids' kids. Talk about it when you're on the porch, when you're on the roadway, when you're going to the market, when you're coming back. There's a reason that God, that the testimony is quite divine. It's not just a human thanks. Because the testimony that we carry in our being, many times we need to share it with others. And even when you talk about waiting, man, one thing that's really big to me is people, God will run me into situations that I was not aware of during those times, and He'll show me testimonies And it'll blow you away because it's like, that's exactly what I'm thinking. And that's exactly what I'm going through. And the Father is faithful. I love the Father and how he does this stuff. And yet I'm aware of the enemy and how he tries to contradict. He tries to hurt us. He tries to say, you know what? None of that's good. God's not good for anything. So we're going to rise today and we're going to close in a word of prayer. Would it be wrong for me to hope that you could avoid certain pains I've had to go through? No, I don't think so at all. I think it would be right. And as a teacher, there's no way any of us can get each other's way and stop all the mistakes. It's just not going to happen. But there is such a way to where we can help and that you can learn. You know, for people to say, you know what? No, people just got to learn everything on their own. That's just simply not true. I was taught many things and other things I had to go through. It's the same with your life. You're taught some things, other things you had to go through. Share your testimony with people. Remind them of who God is. And if you have age in the Lord, it's a good thing because you could say X, Y, and Z this many years. Father, we just close in prayer today, and I've needed your strength again and again. This thing about waiting isn't one subject or two. It's so many aspects. We're, right now, this earth, we saints are waiting for you to return. We're waiting for different things in the scripture, prophetic things. We're waiting in our personal lives. We've prayed about things. We're on the edge of our seat saying, Father, bring it, bring it, bring it. Lord, I pray today, because this is one of the trickiest things that I have known in my walk. I think for many believers, this is the waiting game is the part that's most difficult for me sometimes. But Father, here's what I do know after all these years. You come through. You know what you're doing. Lord, there are sometimes things in my life that the full truth took years to spin out. And it was only in the hindsight that I wept and thanked you for doing certain things a certain way, because it was impossible to see in the moment. But you saved my life many times over. You've saved my character many times over. You saved my future many times over, Father. You said if we wait on you, you will renew our strength. And that's what I pray today. Renewing of divine strength, because this is not about you re-energizing my muscles. It's not about you being the Holy Spirit caffeine that I need. It's deeper than that. The strength that you're talking about, Lord, is divine. It's divine. It's not human. It's not of the natural realm. It's from your very being. It's from your very spirit. Lord, there are times in our own mind that there are things we cannot do. There are terms that we can't seem to get a grip on. But in your spirit, we can do all things through Christ. I pray today, Father, because the church in this country, in any country, right now the church waits for the Messiah to return, to come back for her. And it is during this time, as the church waits, it can get into so much junk. It can play so many games. It can be like little kids in the marketplace. But, Lord, I'm praying and believing that there are always the faithful that say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And they're not wavering. They know that you are good. And it didn't escape their notice that even now, the present heaven and earth is being held together. Even now, where it was told, Lord, wars and rumors of wars will take place and earthquakes in diverse places. And we see so much of the prophetic of Israel becoming a nation. I mean, you've charted this stuff out. You've got it all planned. Even now, as the earth is in labor pains for deliverance, you know the perfect time to come, Father. You know the perfect way to come, Father. You know exactly what you are. I pray blessing as we go today. Renew strength for myself, for Barbara, for Anna, little Anna, big Anna, for Melissa, for Don, for Josh, for Jasenia, Isaac, Lilo, for everyone in the room, for Matt, for John, for nuts, for people missing today, for them, that they would renew their strength, Lord. Many are going to school and they're double duty and they get tired. But again, even with that, we need to wait upon you. You renew our strength. So we're not going to class and to work and we're super tired. We need strength from you, Lord. Many times we need to defy gravity. It's really simple. So I pray as we dismiss here today that this encourage people, because we need to know you're going to come through. We need to know that you are good. We need to know that you've got many feats and miracles and works that you've done through the millennia of the church. And we're no different than any other part. We're your kids, and you are a faithful God that keeps his covenants. We declare your faithfulness right now. And we stand with you, Father, because you are able. And you are going to do miracles, Father, that defy logic, that defy everything. You are not only going to do a few, but you continuously will come through for your kids today. You will come through. And I pray a special prayer for everyone in this room, that they would have their strength renewed. They would mount up with wings as eagles. Lord, sometimes we got to fly above it. Sometimes you're going to lift our mind out of the minutia, out of the confusion, out of the noise upon this earth, so we can see it more clearly. Sometimes, Lord, I need to rise above. Everybody does. You're good for that, Lord. You will not abandon us. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us. A blessing as we go today. Hope against hope. Help people to see and give them the faith that you heard them. You are coming. You are coming through. You are not done with them. You will not leave them as an orphan or a fatherless child. Your name is faithful and true. One of the names, faithful and true. So as we go today, I pray a blessing, God, and a renewal upon every heart in this room, every person. We go with you today. And we not only say we can, but we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pour forth today. And last but not least, let us be the virgins with oil in our lamps. Father, the time between when you left and you're going to return for the church, we don't want to ever be those servants who begin to drink and get into debauchery and beat fellow servants. That's not us. We don't want to be those people. We want to be a people looking and saying, he's coming for certain. And because he's coming, I will live in such a way that reflects that I know my Savior comes for me. We have a value system that will look like that. I just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless everyone. Thank you so much. You have a blessed day, everyone. Ooh, that was quiet. Sometimes it goes poof. You didn't do that today. How nice is that? My electronic. Yeah, I know. I was like, wow.